This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Morning, Bruce. How are you, bud?
Good morning, guys, and you know the great story about the Pope being from Chicago, and I figured out that he would have been 15 in 1970 when the White Sox lost 106 games that year. So I know him and his friends were probably buying the seats way up in the grandstands and sneaking down like we all did.
Who knows?
Back in those days, yeah,
that might have sent him deep in prayer.
It could have, and they. They soon got better because they got Dick Allen, but those are stories for another day.
Well, the story today, Bruce, big in baseball and Chicago, Cade Horton will be, or at least he's scheduled to make his debut tomorrow night for the Cubs. There's been some speculation and conversation. We talked about how he will be used. Will he start? Will he come in after an opener? What do you expect? What do you know?
Well, I do not know if they expect to use an opener. You know, they've used Flex in the last two games for short stints. So is Chris Flexen going to be part of the equation at the front end or behind, him when he pitches? But I think a lot will depend on, what occurs tonight. So, Friday night, we know about Craig Counsell. He doesn't get ahead of himself very much. So the reality of winning tonight's game is going to be number one. If he needs Flex in there, he'll probably use him. But as I told you guys a couple days ago, they're either thinking this kid's ready to pitch or he's not. If he's ready to pitch, you want to get the five or six innings in, start him off right away. Don't make him sit around and watch the environment. You're looking for a soft landing, first three hitters or something like that. That's totally alien to why I think you're bringing him up. You throw him in there, he's ready to pitch, and let's go.
Yeah, it seems as if it's like important to them to win games, and that's what this is all about. If you're bringing this kid up, you're saying he's ready to go and he's ready to win. And that's the only reason you do it. So I'm looking forward to seeing him, and I'm expecting some good things.
I don't see why not. I mean, it's always that Chicago baseball nervousness, right? That, the Paul Skeens of the other worlds are always better than what we have for the Chicago teams, right? There's no way we can have another Kerry Wood or Mark Pryor or a Jack McDowell coming through. Those things happen. And everything that I heard about this kid before he got hurt 2 years ago was every scout in baseball thought he was going to be a number one with the Cubs within a couple of years. Here we are, maybe a little bit later because of injury, but no doubt the stuff is there. So it's going to be fun to watch.
So, Bruce, in that context, then, what does this remind you of in terms of significance? Is it just as what I think is bigger than Jordan Wicks when he made his debut, probably not as big as maybe Mark Pryor when he made his, somewhere in between? And And do you think that because he's here now, that he is here to stay the remainder of the season?
You know, I wish I could answer that last part for you, but I can't. It's going to with Craig Counsell and this group, it's going to be depend upon whether he's successful or not. They're not going to keep him here for an extended period of time if he's throwing two or three innings, throwing 65 pitches and out of the game. That doesn't go with the equation. But at the same time, just like they did last year with Pete Crow Armstrong, with Bush, with Amaya, with Morrell, you know, we talked about it ad nauseum, but the reality is you have to give young players time to be able to, you know, assimilate to the major leagues. With a pitcher, you know, it's a much different dynamic because he has to be good right away or else you're really not accomplishing much for the kid or him. It's not spring training. It's the regular season. The Cubs are expected to win every game. They were expecting to win their division. So this is a different dynamic. So there's two things here, though, that you have to concentrate on. One, he's a young pitcher. He's pitched very well briefly at the beginning of this year after coming back from injury last year and throwing 34 pitches. That's one part of the equation. The other is you're down two starting pitchers. That is why he's here, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think he'd be here if you didn't have the injuries to Steele and Imanaga. So those are things to think about here. They're not just going to say, hey, you have to throw six good innings. That's the way it is. Baseball doesn't work that way. But it's good to see a young, dominant pitcher come up from the Cubs minor leagues, and we haven't seen it for a long time.
What do you expect from Jameson Taillon tonight? It seems like he's sort of the, you know, veteran presence. He's the guy. He's had a great year, but it seems like his ability to stabilize things is more important than ever.
Six innings, 2 to 3 runs, throw strikes, right? That, you know, not strike out a lot of guys, not walk anybody. That's a typical Taillon start. That's who he is at this part of his career. He's not the Taillon that came into the league, you know, 8 or 9 years ago and was throwing 98 and striking people out. He's still an excellent version of himself and a very good pitcher. So that's what you look for. And, you know, you're facing one of the better teams in the National League without question in their home park. It should be fun. Should be a fun weekend, and I think it's really important for the Cubs to start playing just a little bit better baseball. They have just kind of been a 500 team as of late, and again, playing good baseball teams. The National League West is no joke, right? We learned that as the Cubs played through it. They played even with most of them throughout the the beginning of the year, but again, I don't think just because you're going to face Miami and the White Sox, that, you know, they're necessarily going to be automatic wins. You have to start playing a little bit better baseball.
Is the plan at third base a straight platoon? And if that's the case, Clay Holmes on the mound tonight for the Mets means, or would mean, if it is, Nicky Lopez plays third, which probably makes you feel a little bit better about the defense.
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, the defense is important, and you know, we've seen mistakes by Birdie and Brujan. They're thinking probably not really an answer as a third baseman. So I think it's more Birdie and Lopez. You know, Nicky is a really good veteran baseball player. He's gonna bring a professional, you know, at bat, even though it's not gonna be totally impactful. He's not afraid to get a bunt down, steal a base, do some of the things that you have to do when you're a professional player. So they're not expecting a total big amount of offense from him. Birdie's a little bit better offensive player. I think Nicky's defense is better at third so far. That's what we've seen. You just have to have some competency over there. You don't have to have anything electric. You get the electric from center field, right field, you know, hopefully shortstop now with the hot Dansby Swanson over there. So a lot of good things going on for the Cubs. And they just have to rediscover a little bit of, the small ball part of their game. And that has to, you have to win some some games 2-1. You can't just mash every night and score 6 to 8 runs every single evening.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There was a lot of different things that were said about the closer position with Ryan Pressly struggling recently. And one of the things I thought was interesting was Tommy Hotovy talking about he needs more. He's got to pitch more. Does that change his role this weekend, Bruce? Does he need
I would
to?
Hope so.
Yes.
I would. Yeah,
yes.
I would definitely hope so.
Right.
Again, failure is not something that they look for from their team, from their guys. They're looking for success. So the first thing is, how do we get him to be better? You know, how do the bullpens and how do we, you know, talk to him and physically train him to get a little bit better? And two, winning that ball game. He doesn't give them their best chance at the end right now to win a ball game. So you give them, this weekend to be in the middle of the bullpen. If it's 6th, 7th inning, 8th inning, you know, so what? Go in there and get a couple clean innings. And, then you turn to, a couple of the young guys in the bullpen and go, hey, you know, it's your turn. It's basically been a co-closer with Porter Hodge anyways. He's done a really good job. You know, I think we remember him giving up a long ball with a lot of people on base a week or so ago. But mostly he's done a terrific job going back to August of last year. So let him handle it. Palencia is still building his way up there, throwing strikes again. Last 5 outings, no walks, 3 hits, 6 strikeouts. So there's some good arms to turn to there. But over the weekend here, my gut tells me that they're not going to be using Pressly at the end in the 9th inning.
Got to ask about the White Sox, Bruce, only because it seems like such an obvious thing. You got the Marlins in town, you've got a home series, and you have an offense that can't manufacture runs. Is Tim Elko likely, or what are the chances he makes his major league debut this weekend at Wright Field?
I can't tell you that other than, you can put the why not in there, right? Why not bring him up? We know in their mind, he's a home run hitter, but basically just that. If he can give a little bit of juice to the offense, certainly they need it. You know, the one glaring stat that I went back and investigated was after the same amount of games last year, the record is the same, right? It's 10 and 28. And their batting average is 3 points different. It was 218. It's 221. The OPS is 2 points different, 616 to 618 from a year ago. So, the offense is still the problem. The pitching is better. You have to find some way to start scoring some runs. I mean, you didn't need me to come on and tell you that. But the reality is if it's Elko, why not hesitate? Why hesitate? Rather, just bring him up.
I'm just curious if playing against the Mets means anything to PCA. Is there any? I you know, whenever you're traded from one team to another, there's always talk of a revenge factor. It seems like he's living his best life. Is there? Does this juice him up in any way?
How could you be more juiced up in a good way than PCA is, right? I mean, the guy brings so much energy. Even in the loss the other day, he saved a run with a terrific throw to home plate, right? Every day, he either saves runs or creates runs, and a lot of days, both. So I don't think you get any more energy out of this kid. I don't think he needs that as a chip on his shoulder. He was a young kid, just drafted a year before, was injured at the time when he was traded, so he wasn't even playing at that moment. He's a Cub, and that's how he's always going to be remembered. Whatever numbers and years he plays, you know, it's going to be, you know, he was a Cub. He was also brought up in the Cub organization. This is this is something that, you know, Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins can feel really good about. The maturation and bringing him up to the major leagues. So he's a Cub forever. That it'll be a footnote talking about him being, you know, the one that got away. Will he be the Lou Brock of the Mets, you know, after the trade for Baez? We'll see. It's not looking good for the Mets on that deal.
So, Bruce, I know we'll talk about this on Inside the Clubhouse tomorrow, 9 to 11, where we talk baseball 50 Saturdays a year.
At least.
So what would be to you the ideal stat line for Cade Horton, and how many pitches do you think he has or the Cubs are going to let him throw?
I think 5 innings, 75 pitches, maybe 70 pitches, gives up a run or two, doesn't walk people. So 5 strikeouts, let's give him 2 walks, okay? And holds him to a run or two, that would be ideal. And that's what he's been doing in the minor leagues. Again, is he expected to dominate when he comes up? I can't tell you that. All I can tell you is if he throws strikes, he's going to accomplish a lot of things up here for the Cubs.
We've talked a little bit about the idea that the Cubs probably need another starter moving forward. I'm just wondering, when you think of Matthew Boyd starting on Sunday, Matthew Boyd has pitched great, and I don't want to suggest anything otherwise. I'm just wondering, is he another guy that we kind of sneaky don't talk about needs to be monitored in terms of innings eventually? Obviously, nothing you're worrying about now, but when we start talking about October baseball, another guy you kind of include in the mix of how many starts can he go, how long can he go, been injured a couple of years. Is there concern over that? Is that another reason you might want to make a trade?
I don't think
so. Okay.
No, I mean, it's a good question because, you know, he's coming back from Tommy John. He didn't pitch a full year last year, but he was dynamite in the playoffs last year and, you know, for the Guardians. And the idea that they gave him $29 million for the next 2 years, including this year. I think they feel they're going to get a full year out of him. Is it 150 innings? Is it 170? I don't know, but I think that's the intent.
So, Bruce, before I let you go, is there any reason to be on Rafael Devers' watch in Boston? He's a guy that obviously is not happy. He plays third base, but I don't know that you can connect those dots unless you tell me different.
So you're talking about a trade for Vaughn to the Red Sox?
Is that
kind of what you're...
No, I mean,
they're going to need a first baseman there because he's not going to play the position. He told the president, you know, Breslow, the president of baseball operations, he's not playing the position.
Right.
You already asked me to move one position this spring when you brought in Bregman, and you asked me to be the DH. I'm not changing another position in mid-year or the quarter point. I'm just not doing it. So he sounds like, you know, to some people, a bad teammate. To him, it's like, hey, that's it. You know, stop moving me everywhere. You have a problem, go get another player to play first. And the Red Sox have to do that. You know, there've been those fake rumors out there about Rizzo, you know, having signed there, and there's there's reason to think guys like Vaughn will be looked at by a team like
Boston.
I'm not
talking about Andrew Vaughn. Nobody wants Andrew Vaughn. I'm talking about a guy who wants to play third base in a team that might need a third baseman.
Why are you obsessed with Andrew
They're
Vaughn?
Asking him to play first, David. That's where they're asking him to play, and he's saying no. You've moved me off of third. I'm a DH. That's who I'm staying. Does it sound selfish? Yeah.
The Cubs would not call the Red Sox about Rafael Devers, would they?
I don't know. He hits pretty well, doesn't he? He's pretty good. Pretty good.
Tell me, Bruce. I'm asking you. Do you think the Cubs would have any interest in him because of his contract, which is not really something that you would want to trade for?
That's not happening.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, Red Sox need him bad.
How many more shutouts before they bring up Tim Elko?
I think you guys should send a limo out to O'Hare and just wait, have it waiting there to pick him up.
Can't afford it.
I mean, I agree with you guys on the, you know, the fan part as well as the practical part of you need somebody to drive in a run. You need someone to hit a home run. You know, you need someone to excite the fans of the White Sox a little bit so that, you know, they have reason to watch this team. And you know, again, the offense couldn't be any more boring. And each guy's trying hard. They work hard every day. Some of them are just not, you know, able to compete at this level right now.
Great stuff, Bruce. Talk to you in the morning.
All right, guys. Take care.